Just because God is providing today doesn't mean you can't lose your job tomorrow. Sometimes things dry up.
Dr. Tony Evans says that will affect your situation, but not your security.
Your job is not your source. Your bank is not your source. God must be your only source.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Recent events have really disrupted our routines and circumstances. And Dr. Evans says if we take a look back at the life of the prophet Elijah, there's a lot we can learn in times like these. Today, he'll explore how we can recognize the things God provides for us, even when they look like they're coming from somewhere else. You'll want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17 as we join him.
Many of you will remember the story. The boy who loved to give his father expensive, unique gifts for his birthday. And on this particular year, he thought, well, my dad loves birds, so let me see if I can find a unique bird. So he went around and he discovered a very exotic bird that was extremely talented. This bird could speak 5 different languages. It's a talking bird. It could do acrobatics on one leg while singing the Yellow Rose of Texas. This bird was a beast. So he packaged the bird up and had it sent to his father, who lived in another city. And excitedly, he wanted to call Dad to see what he thought about this unique, exciting, exotic gift. Dad, how did you like my gift? His dad said it was delicious. Dad missed the point. Something that was to be a long-term benefit, he limited for a short-term gain. We are looking at the life of Elijah to discover the supernatural. And today, we're going to be introduced to him and learn about a lesson about God's supernatural provision. He appears in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're told in verse 1, "Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead." Tishbe, or if you were from there, you'd be called a Tishbite, was the place Elijah was from. Now, we don't know a lot about Elijah. He just kind of breaks in on the scene, and he comes like out of nowhere. His name means Yahweh is my God. That tells us a little bit about his mother and father who named him. They were obviously people of faith that they would name him that way. Prophets, as Elijah was, showed up because there was a spiritual issue among God's people that needed to be addressed. Prophets were there to bring God's message in the midst, typically, of spiritual decline. Well, the scenario that brings Elijah on the scene is summarized for us in chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. So he erected an altar, that is King Ahab, erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah. This Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So the context that brings Elijah on the scene is idolatry. Ahab the king has begun worshiping Baal, and he brings the rest of Israel to worship Baal with him. He not only worships Baal, he worships Baal's girlfriend, Asherah. Because Baal and Asherah, kind of like boyfriend and girlfriend, work together to bring fertility to Israel. They look to this idol to bring fertility to Israel. Let me define an idol again so that you understand its meaning. An idol is an unauthorized noun, person, place, or thing that you look to meet the needs in your life. You're looking to it. Idols weren't just something that was there. It was you looking to that something that was there to do something for you. So in places around the world, people will worship the sun and the moon and the stars and the water and the trees. But they're not just worshiping that to worshiping that. They're doing that because they're hoping their worship of that thing brings something to them. Now, you and I over here, we don't worship those kind of idols. We worship American idols. We worship people and popularity and power and prestige and possessions because we look to it to meet a need. When you look to an unauthorized noun, or when you look to an authorized noun in an unauthorized way, you have an idol. You don't need a tree. They could be an actor, an actress, an entertainer. It could be your bank account. It could be your house. It could be the people living in your house. When you look to them in an unprescribed way from God, you just created an idol. So before we go any further, are there any idolaters in the house? It says that idolatry ticked God off. It said it provoked him. It irritated him. It upset him that they looked to these unauthorized things to meet their needs. So he calls on Elijah and he tells Elijah, I want you to go and speak to the king and to the nation. So Elijah comes in verse 1 and he says to Ahab the king, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Ahab, God told me to tell you, heaven's going to close. No dew, no rain, and it's not going to be for a day, a month, or a year. It's going to be for years. There's going to be a downturn in the agricultural economy. Okay, who's your daddy now? Who's your God now? Let's see what Baal can do now. Let's see what Asherah can do now. God attacks Israel at the place of their idolatry because they were looking for Baal and Asherah to bring about fertility even in the land. God says, I'm going to attack your idol and I'm going to attack you're looking at them to take care of you. I'm going to no longer provide because rain and dew made the provisions in an agricultural environment. So he removes the provision. Now the word of the Lord comes to Elijah in verse 2 saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself at the brook of Cherith, which is in the east of Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. That's our word provide. I'm going to first of all take care of you naturally. Because there's going to be at Cherith a brook of water that's going to stream down and you're going to go down and you're going to cup that water. You're going to put that water in your mouth and you're going to drink fresh water in a dry season from a private source that only you know about because I'm only sending you there as I break you away from the crowd. So I'm going to use the natural provision of a brook. But I'm going to provide for you another way, supernaturally, because I'm going to call on the Raven Catering Service to supply you food morning and evening. They're going to give you bread and meat. That's called a sandwich. They're going to give you bread and meat morning and evening. Now, that ain't normal. A brook that you can drink from, that's normal. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 11 to 14, God tells his people, don't mess with ravens, they are unclean birds. Well, what does that tell you about God's provision? That ought to tell you that God can use hell to bring heaven to you. All through the Bible, you will find God not sinning, telling you not to sin, yet using evil to fulfill his purposes. So God can use an evil employer to put you in the place he wants you to be. He can use an evil corporation to get you where he wants you to be. So the beautiful thing about God's provision is that you never want to box him in and you don't want to be so spiritual that you miss him using ravens to address the need in your life. Those are unclean birds. They were prohibited birds. But God is so God that even the devil has to be under his rule. Ah, but now we come to verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Things went dry on him. See, just because God is providing today doesn't mean you can't lose your job tomorrow. Sometimes things dry up. Verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him. When the word of the Lord come to him? When things dried up. Okay. When God allows things to dry up in your life, it is because he's moving you to a different provider. Don't get all shook up when it's dried up. All God is doing is moving you up to another location. Oh, but you got to be close enough to him to hear the word. Yeah. So God says to him, go to Zarephath. Arise, verse 9, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Okay, I have problems with this. First of all, Zarephath is the Baal belt. You know, this is the Bible belt. That was the Baal belt. That was the center of Baal worship, is Zarephath in Sidon. So wait a minute now. You want me to go work for a company where folk are cussing every day, and you want me to work for a corporation that doesn't believe in you. You want me to be in an environment that doesn't respect you. You want me to go to the Baal belt? That's where you want me to go? Yeah, Elijah, I want you to go there because there I got a widow. And she's going to be your new provider. Okay, I got a problem with that too. She more broke than me. Okay? I mean, girlfriend has nothing. I mean, she has nothing to offer me. Widows were the poorest people in the land. You often, all the way through the Bible, see widows and orphans. They're poor. You're going to see how poor she is. So how are you going to lead me to somebody less than me? That doesn't have what I have to help me. God will often test your faith by sending you places you don't prefer to go because it doesn't make sense. How's a widow who's down to her last meal, as you're going to see, more help me? She can't help herself. But God said, I commanded the widow and she's going to be your new provider. But he was close enough to God to hear his voice. So he arose, because Elijah's a man of faith, so he's not going to just listen to God to say amen. He got up. He arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering sticks, and he called out to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And she was going to get it. He called and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Something about them preachers. They always want more. He said, bring me some bread too. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Wait a minute, I'm confused. Didn't we just read God had commanded the woman? God had told the woman, God said, I've commanded the woman to take care of you. It don't sound like she'd been commanded to me. Because Elijah said, bring me some water. She said, okay, I can get you the water and bring me some bread. Here y'all go again, preachers. You just want more stuff, okay? I don't have bread. All I have is flour. And all I have with the flour is to make a little something for me and my boy to eat our last meal so we can die. So it doesn't sound like to me this woman has been commanded. In fact, Elijah says to her in verse 13, do not fear. So she's scared. I don't see the command because she's scared to death because she's down the last meal. Here's this man asking for stuff. He says, make me, verse 13, a little bread cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. Let them preachers go again. Make one for me first, and then you can take care of your family. This woman is down to her last meal. So this woman needs a miracle too, because she's planning on dying. Okay? This is our last meal. So what he's got to do is get her to move in faith. Okay? She's been commanded, but she either doesn't know it or is too scared to operate on it. He's got to get her to move in faith. He tells her, this is what I need you to do. I need you to make me my bread first, and then you take care of you and your son. And when you do, this is what God's going to do. He says, for thus the Lord God of Israel says, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. He gives her a promise from God. All this woman has is a promise and a final meal. The question is whether she's going to believe the preacher. But not because he's a preacher, but because he's saying, thus saith the Lord.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to talk about her decision and what it accomplished when he continues this message from his current series, Elijah. This six-lesson CD collection focuses on the lessons we can learn from one of the Bible's greatest prophets about waiting for God's provision, understanding His perfect timing, living a life that matters, overcoming fear and discouragement, strengthening our faith and commitment, and more. Get a copy of this powerful message series on CD and digital download, and the in-depth Bible study kit that goes along with the audio messages. We're offering them all for a limited time as our gift when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry. So don't miss out. Visit us today at tonyevans.org, make your donation, and let us send you the full-length Elijah series messages and DVD Bible study kit. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222, and one of our resource team members will help you. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson right after this.
Far too many of us want to throw in the towel before we've thrown up the prayers.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians have a habit of underusing or overlooking our most valuable spiritual resource.
Grace is available, but only at the throne, and you can only approach the throne through prayer.
You can deepen your connection with the Lord through our in-depth course on Kingdom Prayer at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll discover how God has wired the world to work by prayer and experience for yourself how it connects heaven with earth and time with eternity. You'll not only gain a new understanding and appreciation for prayer, you'll actually pray in transforming ways you've never experienced before. The course is intense, but you can work through it at your own pace and get all the help you need through our online forum. And, of course, there's custom content from Tony not available anywhere else. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at tonyevans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today, tonyevans.org.
So what does the lady do? Verse 15. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, which was the word of the Lord. When you are convinced that what comes from this pulpit or any pulpit for that matter is truth from the word of God, the question now is, are you going to act on it? Because nothing happens for this woman until she moves. She could have been there all day talking about, amen, praise the Lord, I believe you. But nothing happened until footwork was done and she did according to the word of the Lord. And what happened? It says, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So now let me give you the secret of your provision. Elijah, we got to leave here because this is dried up. I got a widow. I know this doesn't make sense, but I got a widow over there. She doesn't have much, but she's going to take care of you. So you do what I told you. You go over there and you minister to her. You create faith in her And when you create faith in her, she's going to take care of you. But when she takes care of you out of obedience to me because you excited faith in her, I'm going to take care of her. The secret to your provision is to be a provider for somebody who needs what you need so that God can use what they need, that's what you need, to bless them and return it back to you. In other words, you cannot be a miracle receiver unless you're willing to be a miracle dispenser. That's the problem with people who come and only want to be blessed, but who don't want to be a blessing. They want a miracle. They don't want to deliver a miracle. And God is not interested in folk who don't want to deliver what they themselves needed. The boy had lunch. He was willing to give his lunch to Jesus so 5,000 other people could eat. But because he gave his lunch to Jesus so 5,000 other people could eat, he had leftovers for him to take home to his family. You must be the miracle that you want to receive for yourself. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:25, he that waters will himself be watered. He says in Ecclesiastes 11:1, that you must cast your bread before you see it come back. It is the supernatural circle of God moving when people move in concert with him. He invoked her faith. If I can ever get you and me and us to move in faith, not talk in faith, but to move in faith, then heaven opens up and God blows your mind that somebody who makes less than you can feed you and almost retire at the same time. You never know how God's going to come at you. You never know where he's going to come from. But you'll never see it. If he sees idolatry, you'll see a famine in the land. And it may not be a famine of money. It could be a famine of peace. It could be a famine of confidence. It could be a famine of stability. It could be all kind of famines. So the question on the floor is, who's your source? Oh, you should feel free right now. Because see, once you adopt God as your source, nobody now owns you. You see, nobody owns you now. Nobody owns you. You don't own me. You know what I mean? Because you were never my source. You happen to be the resource God is using right now. So if the economy shuts down, that was not my source. If the person I was depending on to take care of me walks away from me, you were never my source. If my stability is not a, you were never my source. As long as God is in heaven, all he did was dry me up to move me to someplace else. That means you can't be threatened. You can't be owned. You can't be, nobody go, well, if you don't do this like I want you to do this, I'm going to take this. Hey. It's wonderful not to be owned. A man one day was lost in a desert. It was blazing hot. And if he didn't get some water soon, he was going to die of thirst. Then in the distance, he saw a little shack. Oh, at least I can get out of the sun if I can make it to the shack. He looks over to the side and there's a pump. A pump connected to a well. Pumps and pumps and pumps. Nothing is coming up. Then he saw it. A little over here on the side was a glass of water. The sign said, use this water to prime the pump. And then fill it up again for the next traveler. Now he's on the horns of a dilemma. Do I take the risk based on the word that was written underneath the glass to prime the pump? Or do I take this water and just satisfy myself for the moment? You are that man. I am that man. You can say, I'm going to take what I have, whatever the category is, and I'm going to use it for me, get as much of it out of, as I can, or I'm going to believe the word. Prime the pump. He primed the pump. The pump gushed with water. And he lived for many days because he believed the word. Do you believe the word? Or do you just come to church? one closing comment that you don't want to miss. Because I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, that's Old Testament. That's in the Old Testament. I don't believe that works today. I don't believe that principle applies today. So let me close by quoting you Luke 4, verse 24. When Jesus is rejected in his own hometown, he says, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his own hometown." Talking about himself. "But I say to you the truth. There were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the skies were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." Girlfriend, they made it from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament with a new prophet whose name is Jesus. And Jesus said, let me reach back to the old prophet. He said, there were a whole lot of widows in Israel, but God sent her to only one. And the one he sent her to didn't even go to church. She was the widow of Zarephath. She was a Gentile. But because she was willing to act in faith, she was the only one who got the miracle, even though there were a lot of widows who could have gotten the miracle, but they were living as idols. But because this one foreign woman was willing to believe the prophet, a greater than Elijah is here. I am the prophet. So the question on the floor is, are you going to be that unique person that God supernaturally provides for? Does he have somebody over there, over there, over there, and over there, and the rest of y'all just go home? How many widows who are willing to trust him does he have in a crowd? Jesus said, one good one will do.
Dr. Evans will come back to wrap up today's program with some good news and an invitation for you in just a moment. First, though, don't forget to get in touch with us and request his current 6-lesson teaching series called Elijah. As I mentioned earlier, you can get the digital downloads right away, followed by the CD version and companion DVD Bible study kit, all as our thank you gift for your contribution to keep Tony's messages coming to you each day. But don't forget, this offer is only available for a limited time. So make a point of visiting us today at TonyEvans.org to make all the arrangements. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. When it feels like you have nothing left to give, Dr. Evans says that one final investment may be exactly what it takes to turn everything around. And he'll tell us about it next week as he talks about the difference between regular faith and living faith. But right now, as promised, here's Tony with an important invitation for you.
If you're not absolutely sure that you have received salvation, that you're on your way to heaven, then let's get that straight right now. God offers you salvation as a free gift because of the sacrifice of his Son. And if you will come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your need for a Savior because you recognize you're a sinner, recognizing you can't save yourself, and appealing to Jesus to apply his death into your life, he will come in, forgive your sins, and give you eternal life right now. Simply say to the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I'm believing in you alone to be my Savior. So I now accept your offer to give me eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And then thank him for the free salvation he just gave you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.